You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yay! Biscuit! It's Jimmy from Boston. First, let me just say I hope you two boys and my man DJ Lou had a happy Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, I hope all the listeners had a happy Thanksgiving. And then look at Shuley coming out of nowhere, pulling out of the archives with a sick bit. Well done, kid. Home fucking run, brother. And then, actually, as a matter of fact, and I can't lie, the entire show was fucking funny. It was hilarious. You boys were on top of your game. Without a doubt, that the best part of the entire show was when you two were rubbing your nuts together trying to get some flame lit for this fucking Justin Bieber. Hey, Lou, play Justin Bieber. Oh, yeah, he sings a country song. I just bought a CD. Play Bieber, play Bieber. And DJ Lou does nothing. Complete fucking silence. The best part of the entire cast was the fact that that motherfucker just let you two in your bouncy Bieber request just sit there in the fucking breeze blowing in the wind. Nice job, DJ Lou. I'll listen to those two fucks when they suggest shit like that, kid. You know it. Later.
For all the times that you rain on my parade, and all the clubs you get in using my name.
No way. No way. What is this garbage?
Pete and Sebastian Show. We're back on track. There was some hiccups, man. We missed a week, and things got flipped around. It was chaos on the streets, bro.
Yeah, man. This has been, what, almost two weeks we haven't done this?
Yeah, well, you know, we had that little hiccup where we came in way late with the show, and then right away was Thanksgiving, and we didn't even, you know, it was really crazy, which is unusual. I mean, are we losing our steam? What's going on? Because neither of us got a hold of the other one over Thanksgiving to even say, are we banging one out? Which is unheard of, because one of us is usually pushing the other.
I just thought Thanksgiving was just a known day off.
We barely do. Although we texted, you gotta love the text. If not for anything else but the holidays, it saves you from so many quick calls that you might have to make or pick up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many people did you actually call?
Nobody. Oh, my parents. My parents. Yeah, that's right. Other than that, nobody. And I banged them all out in one big FaceTime. The whole family was on the phone. So that's it.
That's it. You don't call friends, relatives. It's just you call the parents. And then after the parents, it goes straight into group text. That's it.
So, I even distinctly remember after I did it, I was with my family, with Jackie and my daughter, and we did the FaceTime. As soon as I hung up, I said out loud, "Done."
When you send
the text, you're basically saying to the person, "Hey, just I'm thinking about you on Thanksgiving," right? That's what you're saying.
No.
No?
No. I send it out because I don't want to hear you didn't wish me a happy Thanksgiving.
I can sense that in your texts. I know that about you. It's less of a hassle to just text and say happy Thanksgiving than it would be to have to respond to why didn't you text.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes you do it really early, like an errand. That's terrible, man.
You get it out of the way.
Oh, you know, I'm re-getting into a band called ELO. We'll get into that in some other show. But they got a song called Turn to Stone. I turn to stone. Well, when you're gone, whenever you're gone, I turn to stone. And I was just thinking how I'm listening to it in the gym. I'm like, dude, this is Sebastian's song. The minute his lovely wife is gone, the guy goes to stone. Thank God she softens you up.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, right? I got tiger blood.
Hey, listen, we don't know about that blood. We're still trying to figure out how it happened. You don't want any of that.
I'm a high priest, Vatican assassin, warlock. Back off with your judgment.
But I do have to say, I sense that in your text, but I'm thinking still, one way or another, you are saying, look, I'm thinking about you on this day. But The thing that is so crazy is you're saying, yeah, I'm thinking about you today, but I'm only thinking about you for the length of time it takes to send this text. Then I'm back off of you.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
It's really just, you know, just trying to... I mean, if we could have some sort of social device where you literally snap your fingers and that says hello or whatever to everybody, we just snap. That's it. As easy as possible to get it done.
Quick, man. In and out.
I'm calling you. I'm calling you on Christmas. So get ready. I'm going to go, good morning, Sebastian. Merry Christmas, old friend.
Probably won't answer that.
I know, and you'll text back.
How was the festivities?
The morning was fantastic. Jackie was in a 4.5 mile turkey trot in town. Now, they call it a turkey trot. It's just a 4.5 mile run. But the town takes it very serious. And we got into this thing to the point where Jackie had an inside tip. The woman who runs the whole thing, it starts at a bar right downtown from us, 9 in the morning. So me and Sadie go down, ready to root her on. My mother-in-law comes. And the woman who runs it every year tries to make it harder and harder every year and changes the route. Well, this year we got an inside friend who got us the route the night before. So Jackie could check for hills and valleys and when to go fast, when to kick back. This is heavy-duty shit in town, bro.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So it was a lot of fun rooting her on. She won second place for her age group, which is great. Of course, they run out of medals. They're like, they make an announcement. We ran out of the medals. We have everyone's address. We'll mail them to you.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but my mother-in-law stole a medal right before they ran out, just in case. Yeah, so.
God.
No, we got it covered. Now, here's the deal, bro. You ever do a joke with someone and you just can't believe they don't get it? Because the guy who won, all right, white guy, looks like he could be or an accountant. He did 4.5 miles in 24 minutes, I believe it was. Something insane. Guy's flying. Clearly a professional runner, or at least runs all the time.
Yeah.
Comes across the finish line, and you know, again, small town, no one's even aware of how crazy this guy's time was. So I go up to him right away. I got my cup of coffee, and I go, bro, wow. And I go to give him a little fist pump. I go, what are you, from Kenya? He looks at me, and he goes, no, I'm from Fredonia. Oh my God. What are we doing? Oh,
Forget it. Did you just walk away after that?
I looked at him. I said, no, I know. I mean, just great run, though. Real. What do you say, man?
Oh, God.
Ridiculous.
Didn't even get it. Yeah. Right over the head.
And then, you know, the turkey, the family. I'm sorry, man. My holidays. Thank God I have Christmas, because I'm getting drunk on Christmas, because my holidays with my family are very mellow. Even my side, it's gotten mellow. I grew up, there was aunts, uncles, cases of beer out on the porch in Levittown, Long Island. Every aunt and uncle would always be like, give me another beer. Me and my cousin couldn't wait to be able to drink. We'd party. It was so much fun. Now it's like fucking Norman Rockwell painting. God, put me to sleep.
Is it because no one's drinking or no one's talking?
Well, first of all, there's no players. You know, I don't have, like, my brother isn't there. My brother-in-law is there, but I don't know, man. He's hit and miss. He was hungover this year on Thanksgiving, so he made that announcement. That's always irritating. He goes, oh, we had a good time last night. They're telling you, I had so much fun last night. I made a choice. I'd rather have a good time and blow it last night than wait for today with you.
Well, I mean, do you blame him?
No.
I mean, based on what he was walking into, I mean, it sounds like everybody was just going through the motions.
Well, he had it at his house, and it was a lovely setup and a wonderful meal, but the host sets the tone, man. We're coming in, you're grouchy and hungover. The tone is set. When I do Christmas, bro, first of all, I'm going to have your eggnog. That's going to be a home run. But I'm going to have constant music playing. I'm going to have beer and wine and little gifts on the side for people I wasn't even supposed to be getting a gift. We talked right before the show started. We're both down with it. We can't wait to get our Jolly Holly on, bro.
Cool. Christmas is your day, though. You're more of a Christmas guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the one.
And you're having it, and is your family coming over?
No, they're not coming. It's all my in-laws and whatnot. But, you know, I'm telling Jackie, I'm like, your friend should stop by. And she's like, they have their own families. I'm like, yeah, but they're not going to be doing it like this, man.
Yeah, nah, this is going to be nice, especially with that eggnog flowing.
I think so, man. I mean, I really look forward to sucking that down. When I had it at your house, it was fantastic.
Oh, man, I remember having a house.
Oh, shit. So how was your Thanksgiving?
Well, we did a dual thing. The actual Thanksgiving was at my father's house.
Right. You stayed in your childhood bed.
Stayed in the childhood bed. We did 3 days with Lana's family. So we didn't really get to do like a Thanksgiving there, but we did get to go out for a couple of dinners with them. But yeah, first time with my father and his girlfriend and her kids. So it was a little different. Good time. We did sleep in the old bed. Not the old bed. I mean, the room is totally rearranged. But the doll was in the basement.
The doll was in the basement. Well, I don't want to get too crass here. But, you know, did you make love in your old childhood room?
No.
No, there's too many people around. What?
Hey, come on. We gonna do fuck in the bedroom with the day.
I didn't say it like that, man.
Yeah, I know, but I am. I got my dad in the next room. I don't know. Come on, man.
I hear you. All right, fair enough.
So, yeah, we... my dad took me what I call... I don't know if you've done this with your parents. We briefly touched on it before, but I went through with my father and did the death walk.
No, what's this?
Oh, the death walk. You didn't do this with your dad yet?
No.
What happens just in case he dies?
Oh, you told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, we did it. We did a review.
Dry run? A dry run?
It's almost like every year at school you have like a tornado or fire drill.
Yeah.
That's what it is with my dad. Every time I come home, we do like, where's what? You know, this folder's got this folder's got... I said, Dad, he's got so much stuff all over the house. I go, just make a death folder because I don't want to be going upstairs, downstairs. I want to go to one place and look at the death folder.
There you go. Exactly, man. And everything is accounted for in the death folder, or it will be?
Yeah, everything. And I'm urging our listeners to do this with their parents. Create a death folder. I know it sounds a little morbid, but everything goes in the death folder. If there's a safety deposit box key, death folder. If there's investments, death folder. If there is jewelry... In a safe, or if you have a box, it should be right. Everything should be. I shouldn't have to go on a scavenger hunt when somebody passes away.
Well, what about taking it a step further? And should everybody, I mean, God forbid, have their own death folder going from like 30 years old or 40 years old on?
Yeah, I'm starting to create my own death folder.
Well, see, now, and again, I don't have, like, it's not about leaving anything. It's all going to my daughter, right, or my wife. But my point is, the little trinkets, you know, that, like, I don't want people to accidentally get. Like, I got a nice leather bag, and I worked with this comic a few times that thinks we're a little closer than we are, and he comments on the bag. I don't want him calling up going, I love the bag to remember Pete. My daughter would give him the bag. Not, I got to put it in the death will. Don't give him the bag. Even if you don't want the bag, don't give the guy the bag.
Well, I think you do have to map that stuff out in the death folder.
That's what I'm saying. Mean,
you really got to start a spreadsheet and tell whoever's getting what where it's not going. I mean, you can't have that bag end up in the comedian's closet.
Like, I give you another example. I got all my notebooks from stand-up that I've written. I'm sure you got your kind of stuff like that. I know my daughter, I can already tell, she's not reading that shit. So I'm not going to leave it for her. I got to figure out, do I have any niece or nephew that thinks I'm so cool that when I'm dead, they'll read my notebooks? They get
yeah, you could do that. You could do any club owner, maybe that you have a favorite club owner out there, or maybe another comedian.
Now, well, right now, right, because you have no kids, does everything automatically go to Lana? Or I mean,
right to Lana.
All these casts together building up this show. I mean, you don't throw me a scooter.
Oh, you want something. Let's see what I would give you. You know what? Maybe the scooter would look good next to the ones you got over there.
Yeah, mine, I'm already trying to sell them. They're pieces of shit. They don't even run.
It's over?
Yeah, every time I got to use them, I got to call the guy up to get them started because I'm not a mechanic. So I said, you keep the scooters and give me the value of the scooters to work on my Jeep. Now I'm looking to get a couple of scooters like yours.
Okay, so maybe I do leave you the scooter.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you got valuables. It would be fun to start to see who would I leave this stuff to in my death folder. You know, stuff that Lana might not want or, you know?
You're right. I do have to go. I was just going to give it off to Lana and she was going to distribute it accordingly. But maybe I better be a little specific here.
Yeah, well, look at your entire wardrobe. Give it to one of your boys.
Oh, man. I'm doing this cast, and I got to tell you this. I don't know what happened here. I got my shirt off, by the way. I just thought I might paint a picture.
Oh, thanks.
And the reason I'm telling you is because we all know I get laser hair removal on the back, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what laser they used last time, but I think they screwed up and put the laser on that grows hair.
Oh, they put it on reverse?
They put it on reverse. I got shoulder hair like you wouldn't believe. I don't know. Lana's going, what the... Something's wrong with the laser, man. I grew double the hair that I ever had.
Oh, you went to Robin Williams guy.
I got the Robin Williams.
Listen... first of all, with the laser, I thought it was once and done every area, no. And then you're done for life with that area.
No. You got to go back at least four or five times, they say, to get rid of it entirely. But, you know, I don't know if you got this, but I got this hair on my tricep.
Oh, okay. No, I don't.
You don't got tricep hair?
Well, I mean, very lightly. Nothing extreme. I mean, my body hair... Aside from my chest, but on my arms and stuff. When I, like, come out of water, I'm not one of those guys where it's so matted down where you're like, Jesus!
Oh, yeah. No, I come out and it looks like it's combed straight down.
Yeah, that's my chest hair, but that's a man, but not on my thighs. You got that, when men have that on their arm, I'm like, that's hairy, man.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm getting that. I think I'm, they, I told them, take the laser to the tricep. And they did it, but it came back Robin Williams like. Oh.
Well, is that like something they say, you know, sometimes the first hit with the laser stimulates the root?
No, this was the second time I went back to this guy, and I think they had it on reverse. And I don't know what the protocol to this is. Do I go back in and ask for a free session? Do I get my money back and go somewhere else?
I would. I would call.
How do you work that?
I would call. I'd be like, I don't know if you had fertilizer in that fucking thing, but I got more hair than ever. Is this a normal process? I feel like I deserve a free round.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to fuck up on the hair, dude.
So what's the deal with, like? Has anyone ever discussed the option of? Because you go a lot to get groomed in various ways anyway. What about just getting it shaved every time? Will it just come back so fast and so thick you'd be shaving like a woman?
Pretty much with the shaving. It's hard to shave your back.
Yeah, I know. And you need just, a guy. It's hard you need a geisha.
You need a geisha.
Yeah.
You need a geisha to do that stuff. And supposedly with the hair removal, it's 50%. You know, it's 50-50 it's going to take to certain people. But that's pretty much the best way to go. As soon as you start shaving it, it comes back heavier. You know, it looks like a coarse beard.
Yeah. Well, so wouldn't the guy just say, hey, guy, we said it's 50-50, you know, sorry.
Yeah, 50-50, but I didn't know it was 50% you could grow more hair.
I got wreaths around my goddamn biceps here.
Yeah.
Oh, you are hairy like animal. Make love to me, monkey man.
So, how was your trip to L.A.? We didn't get to... I thought you were going to come in earlier on Tuesday. It could have been a possibility, but Wednesday I left. So, did you do the Burr cast?
Yeah, I did Burr yesterday. I'm still out in L.A.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I got Marin later on today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You got two of the biggest podcasts going, man.
I mean, Billy Burr was like, holy shit. He's just a nice guy, man. Just, we go way back, and it was great. It was just great. I mean, you know, it's like, it's not your show. So it's not like, you know, you and I sometimes where I can interrupt, start over. You know, you're being respectful of the show. Billy's great anyway. It's just a one-on-one thing. But, you know, you do have a few moments. Like, I'll give you an example. When we first started out, he gave a really nice intro to me. Just fucking super nice guy, Billy is. So at one point he goes, and his sort of way he talks is very funny. He goes, you know, just brutally underrated. And it made me laugh. And then I go, so I say something along the lines, because, you know, you don't remember totally how he said it. I go, geez, it's like you're speaking the words of my wife in the kitchen. And he goes, why? She says that or something? And I go, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, even the Showtime special, like 2 weeks before it came out, I was on a boat. I mean, I was on a cruise. And right away, he's like, oh, you mean right before you taped it, you took a vacation? That's crazy. I go, no, dude, right before it aired, I was playing on a boat. And, you know, it's like you're sitting there, like, and they sit at the bar and put bread in my jar and say, man, what are you doing here? And I know Jackie, when she hears that, she's going to go, why would you let them know that you were on a boat? I mean, you know, there's other reasons behind it why you did it. And I was like, but it's like, I'm just being honest. I'm always I'm openly honest. So those are the kind of things you get back to the hotel room and you're like, maybe I should have just said thank you, you know, and moved on. But then at one point, I got into my whole spiel with talking about feature acts, and I'm like, you know, didn't they want to sell their T-shirts? And I'm like, nobody gave a shit about me when I was featuring. I'm like, da-da-da. And he goes, and he was kind of with me in the conversation, and then he goes, yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound bitter on younger guys and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, no, yeah, hey, listen, most of these younger guys, they were better at writing jokes at a younger age than I was. And then he rails on the feature guy again a little bit, and I go, what are we doing? Are we making fun of him? Or are we not? And he goes, well, nah, dude, you just say what you want, honest. I go, well, then fuck him then. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, and it's not about trying to, you know, kiss up to Billy. He's a friend, but you're trying to be respectful of his audience. That's what I'm trying to, you know. So if they're like very supportive of young and up and comics, I don't want to be the guy coming on going fuck them. So you know. But other than that, it was awesome. It's great to see him. Of course, we brought you up, and we brought up the helicopter. He showed me some awesome pictures of flying his helicopter recently. I go, and this is like his great. I love this line because he goes, I go, yeah, but why helicopters over planes? And he goes, because they're cooler. And I go, I hear you. I got a Jeep Wrangler. I can totally relate to that. Fucking completely not comfortable at all. But it looks cool. Helicopter. He can barely go from here to the 7-Eleven before he's got to gas the fucking thing up again. You know? But it's cool, man.
Where is the cast? Out of his house?
No, it's at a studio in Melrose, not too far from the Improv. It's a building that, you know, it's just a nondescript office building, but you go in there, I guess they have studios all over. And you have it for 1 hour, and then there's other people coming in to do something else. And yeah. All things comedy. Have you ever been in there?
No.
Yeah.
Is it his thing? I think it's his thing. Oh. His studio. He has like a thing, like his own Riot Cast type of thing.
Oh, okay. Because it was real sterile. Real sterile, I mean. It was just a thing that said all things comedy, but, you know, it wasn't like there were posters of him or, like, you know, like if it was his office or something.
Okay.
But maybe he does. Not. Maybe he owns it or he rents the space. I don't know. But so it was great. And I have to say, he and then afterwards we ended up talking in the parking lot for another 20, 30 minutes. Just an old friend, man. And he's got a new cartoon series coming out. I should say animated series coming out on Netflix. I want to plug for him too, which Lord knows he doesn't need my help. But December 18th, it's called F is for Family, and he plays the dad. It's animated. He plays a family man dad. There's a trailer which I'll send you. I don't know. It's the trailer's on YouTube. I would imagine anyone can check it out. Dude, it's so goddamn funny. you know, like in the trailer, his character says to his son, he's got a son and daughter, and he goes, "You keep your eye on your sister. Daddy's got to go out. And listen, you take good care of her." I'm totally paraphrasing, but he goes, "If anything happens to her when I come home, I'm going to put your head through that fucking wall. You hear me?" And then he looks back and he goes, "Okay, take care, princess. All right, bye-bye." Like, he hugs his daughter, but he talks to the son like that. And the wife is played by Laura Dern. And there's another character in there played by Sam Rockwell. And anyway, the entire 6-episode series drops December 18th on Netflix. F is for Family. Bill Burr. And thanks for having me on, brother.
Yeah, I remember him telling me that in Montreal. And he had said that it was such a liberating feeling doing the animated series opposed to like a sitcom, because you could get away with lines like that through animated characters better than you would real people.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, you can't say that. Oh, you can, but for whatever reason, you know, the South Parks of the world, the Family Guys of the world, you could say a lot more risque type of things and cover a wide array of controversial topics under the umbrella of animation that you would if you just did a traditional sitcom.
I am putting you in charge of your sister today. You got that?
Yep.
Okay, if anything bad happens to her, I will come right home and I will put you through that fucking wall. Have a great day, princess.
Yeah, send me the trailer. We'll put it up on our page. Yeah, check that out, because Bill Burr is one funny cat.
Yeah, we were talking about making specials and stuff. And he's like, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm already working on the next one or something." And I, of course, you know, always trying. And he goes, he's talking about making them over and over. And I go, "Well, Jesus, I mean, you and Louis C.K., like, what do you got, little elves writing shit for you and leaving it at the foot of your bed every night?" And, dude, he said that, you know, saying great things about you, obviously. And then he said that you guys told a funny story that you, when he first lived in L.A. for a short period of time, you lived in the same building as him.
Yeah, I told you this story on the cast, didn't I?
I don't think so. Did you?
Yeah, my first week, I lived at the St. James Apartments off of Hollywood Boulevard in Fuller. And I'm moving in my stuff and kind of getting settled in. This had to be, probably 3 or 4 days living at the apartment. And the elevator opens, and it's Bill Burr. Now, I had known about Bill Burr prior to moving to Los Angeles because I've seen him on a couple comedy specials and really enjoyed what he was doing. So I walked in the elevator, and I go, "You Bill Burr?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "I'm Sebastian. I just moved out to Los Angeles. I want to be a comedian, and I really like what you're doing." And he invited me to the Laugh Factory that night to come see him perform, and I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. I mean, 3 days into Los Angeles, I'm getting invited to a comedy show at the Laugh Factory. And he lived there for about 6 months. I think he moved back to New York after that because, for whatever the reason, he went back there. So.
Well, New York is like where you go to get started. And that's why we're talking about you and how you, he goes, "Yeah, and Sebastian," which is unheard of, "started comedy in L.A. from the ground up." I'm like, "I know, who does that? It's fucking insane." By the way, speaking of how you recognized him, I wanted to tell you, last week I'm raking my leaves with Jackie on my front lawn, the final rake of the year. Guy walks by and he goes, "Excuse me." I'm like, "Oh, here we go, Showtime special." I look up with the rake handle in my hand. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. I look up, I'm like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And he goes, "Do you have a card?" I go, "Excuse me?" Dude, he thought me and Jackie were landscapers.
Oh, man.
I said, "No." Jackie leans over and she goes, "No, this is our house." And he goes, "Oh, it looks so good. I thought you were hired." She goes, "No, I can't wait to be done with our own." I'm like,
"Oh,
what
my
the fuck?"
God.
Right back to raking.
Here we go. Showtime special. Probably going to tell me how fantastic, and he's looking for someone to clean his gutters.
I know. If he thinks I'm going to go inside the house to get a pen and sign something, I'm not. I mean, I'm raking.
Oh, that's funny.
Speaking of raking, too, I finally had to drop the call. My neighbor to my left, when I was leaving for L.A. in the morning, it was windy out, and I look out, and it's the guy who they rent. So there's a guy who owns the place who's renting, And that guy who owns it, him and his wife, they always gave me their number. And they're like, if there's any problem, well, you know, let us know. We'll come take care of it. Because I don't even know if they're legally allowed to be renting. And I think they know that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the leaves. He never gets his leaves. I don't expect the people renting to rake leaves. They're renting. So I finally called him, dude. I got the number from Jackie. I called from Skype because if they were going to pick up, I wasn't going to leave a mess. I wasn't going to talk. I waited till I got the message. I didn't want them to see my, you know, I didn't want to have a face-to-face. So I call from Skype, and they don't pick up, and I leave a message for the guy. I'm like, hey, Dan, this is your neighbor, Pete. I just want to tell you, man, you got some giant limbs sitting out on your front lawn. They've been out there for, like, over a month now. You got some limbs hanging from the trees. And quite frankly, bro, I mean, your leaves are raking off, are blowing onto my lawn. I've already raked my leaves 3 times and yours twice. I'm done. Can you just come rake your leaves, man? Thanks. Am I out of line, bro?
Well, first of all, you Skyped him?
I called on Skype because if he was going to pick up, I didn't want to have a conversation with him. And if I called on my cell phone, I know he has my number and he know it was me. So I called on Skype to his cell phone.
Oh, so he can't pick that up?
He can, but he's a teacher and I called during the daytime. I was hoping I wouldn't get him during recess.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah. So you did it in... intentionally not to speak to him.
Yes, because I have 2 numbers and I don't know which is his and which is his wife. And one other time I called and his wife picked up and then I couldn't even say what I wanted to say because I wasn't expecting her.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely appropriate. It's gone on too long and I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have talked to him. I would have left a message. For some reason, if you leave a message like that, it's a lot... I don't know, I feel it's not as direct and violent as it could be if you spoke to him on the phone.
No, it's not. You're right. But I'm giving you a chance to address this before I got to take it to another level and actually talk to you. And the only difference in your message, by the way, would be my landscape has already raked my leaves 3 times and yours twice. My landscaper doesn't want to rake your leaves again. By the way, how much are we saving on flocking and everything else this year? You're not going to decorate your rental, right?
No, we're going to my in-laws for Christmas, so we're not going to spend it in Los Angeles. Although we would have decorated the rental if we were going to stay, but yeah, no flocking, no lights this year. It's going to be in Florida for the first time. This is the first time in 42 years that I will not be spending Christmas Day with my entire family. My mother, my father, and my sister. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Wow.
Unbelievable. And speaking of holidays and the Christmas extravaganza that's coming up, I got to get your take on this. Thanksgiving, after it's all said and done, at the host's house, this being your brother-in-law, right?
Correct.
Does everyone pitch in with setting the table, cleaning the dishes? How does it work?
Well, let me throw it back to you with a question. What do you do when you're at a dinner table like that for, let's say, Thanksgiving, and your wife is helping out clearing the table, so your instinct is to get up and help out, but then your father-in-law gives you a look or he's talking to you and he just kind of looks at you and says, no, they got it. Do you still get up out of deference to your wife or do you go, hey, man of the house telling me to sit down, I'm sitting down?
Well, I got to tell you what happened and it answers that question. At my father's house, his girlfriend made a shit ton of food. I mean, it was a lot of food. And at the end of the dinner, Lana got up, and Lana was great. I mean, she even, like, she was, what could I do? And my father's girlfriend and Lana cleaned the dishes. Well, my father and I watched the football game. Now, I'm not saying it's the woman's job at all, because believe me, I have no problem, and I've done this in the past many a times, where I've stood up and I've cleaned the entire table. As I'm talking, I would just start taking people's... You done with that? You done with that? And then I would stack them up. And the table would be clean. I've done this many a time.
But do you wash them? I mean, I'm not to interject on you here, but my mother...
No, I haven't... I don't typically wash dishes at somebody else's home.
Neither do I, but that's the hard part. Like, I do the stack like you. The stack is easy. I think the stack annoys my mother-in-law because I'm bringing them in too fast. She doesn't have any place to put them. It's the wash. You going to roll up your sleeves?
Nah.
Then don't stack. It's an insult to the washer. Ooh, look at me carrying six plates in. You're better off just... I know, it feels very Neanderthal to just sit there and let the ladies do it, but you know what, man? It's part of the deal, know. Man. It's part of the I don't make the rules. I mean, it's like, I don't know why my seat has to be up when we take off. I don't know why you got to do the dishes on Thanksgiving, but you do.
Well, that brings me to my next topic. My father-in-law sent out an email today saying that, we're having Christmas dinner, and here, let me pull it up. I never really received an email like this 22 days outside of Christmas, but he's like, family time, so this year we'd like to ask all to help wash and clean up after dinner. Now, don't get me wrong, I got no problem helping out.
Whoa.
Washing and cleaning up after dinner, but this is 22 days out on an email.
What? So you got an email from Pop saying if you're going to join us for Christmas,
yeah,
we'd like you to help with the dishes.
Yeah, so he goes, we will be organized and assign each of us a specific task. What?
Man, I mean... You may as well tell me your entire house has asbestos because I'm not coming. I mean, that's...
I'm getting a task. Like, there's going to be a follow-up to this, and that's going to be, Sebastian, you're on garbage breakdown.
Did you email back? Sebastian just booked a ticket to Florida after receiving his email.
This is my father-in-law.
Oh, your father-in-law?
This ain't my father. What are you, crazy?
Well, I thought we were getting to something where maybe your father's girlfriend was actually upset and you didn't know her. Oh, this is your... They have staff. What is this about?
They can't get the staff this year.
Oh, they're having a complete breakdown. They don't know how this works, man. They've never had to do their own dishes. They're assigning it. They're assigning it 30 days out. They're freaking out. Do we even have soap? I don't even think we have soap.
Oh, God. They got no sponge. We got no sponge.
This is like the Howls getting shipwrecked on Gilligan's Island. This is right up there with that.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Well, is it BYOG? Bring your own gloves?
Oh, God.
Can we get an actual reading of the email with some Lou music?
Oh, here. We're looking forward to the Christmas Eve dinner and also Christmas dinner at our home. We will be getting specific details out soon. Christmas is family time. It's difficult to get a competent service staff. So this year, we'd like to ask all to help wash and clean up after dinner. We will be organized. We will be organized and assign each of us specific tasks so it goes quickly.
Holy shit. First of all, I'd settle for inadequate service right now, right? I mean, I don't need a great dishwasher.
Also, forget the whatever you get is better than cleaning dishes.
Yeah, I mean, this is unbelievable. I can't get a roofer. You can't get dishwasher in Florida. What is coming to the world? I mean, jeez. Just go to So, did you get your task yet?
I didn't get the task. I just got the email this morning.
Well, you should write back and saying, if you haven't assigned jobs yet, just let it be noted I'm a fantastic stacker.
I want to write back, I'm really good at watching TV.
You should see if you can find some staff out that way.
I might have to bring my own staff.
Oh, man, this is wild. You know what, though? Knowing your mother-in-law, and you know, I met her once. She's a real sweetheart. I'm imagining this is just her way of kind of making this all fun.
No,
this is really, I mean, they're like freaking out.
No, this is a serious deal, man. This is, like you said, this is a big thing over there. They're doing a spreadsheet right now, giving everybody a responsibility.
This could have a direct effect on your little gift packet when you get there with your personal newspapers and anything else going on. I mean, usually you say she gets you something, like last time it was a book about Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Well, now you're going to have a whole little set of gloves and soap and a basket.
Yeah, it's garbage bags and twisty ties.
Wow, that's too funny, man. That is...
So, yeah, it's going to be a different Christmas, man.
Do you even email back saying, you know, bring it on, or...
No, I wanted to email back. Of course, you know, we're making fun here, and whatever they want me to do is fine, but I want to email back because the whole family's on an email thread, so some of the responses have been like, sounds like a plan, we'll be there. And then, it will be a jolly good time. I want to respond going, thanks for the 22-day notice to wash dishes. I can't wait.
Oh, well, you got to appreciate it. That's your mother-in-law's way of saying, wrap your head around this one. But we're all going to have to do the work this time.
Oh, I think I sent it. I actually think I sent it by accident. Did I send this? Oh, yeah. Well, I think I might have sent it. That's okay.
Why, you said something jokingly that you weren't...
Yeah, no, I sent it. Oh, yeah. I sent it.
What did it say? What did it say?
I said, nothing like getting a 22 that you'll be washing this. Thanks for the advance notice. I'll bring my own sponge.
Dad, that's funny.
That's funny, right?
Absolutely.
I just don't know. Like, I don't know sometimes with the other side of the family... How they take sarcasm.
You don't play well via text and email. You don't sound soft.
It sounds angry.
Yeah, you should think about using those memes.
Oh, those emojis?
Oh, the emojis, like the yellow smiley faces?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could help you. It softens everything you say.
Yeah, well, you know, I just say it with comedic take to it, but maybe... Reading that, it looks like I'm being aggressive and confrontational.
Well, I mean, just listen to me. Thanks for the 25-day notice. I'll bring my sponge. Oh, now watch this. Thanks for the 25-day... No, there's no way to make that sound nice, actually. That's mean. Whoa, you better send one of those little yellow guys right now. you're gonna be on dishes every night, kid.
Oh god.
You or the LOL. I mean, I know you don't want to use it, but there's a reason people use it. I think Watt maybe even used it from time to time, man. If it's man enough for him, you could use it.
This should be, listen, knowing me and knowing how I look at the world, something like that should just go like, oh, that's him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but knowing the way you look at the world, you're really a little annoyed that you got to do this in 25 days. And, you know, sarcastically, I'll bring my sponge. Like, I can't believe, you know? No.
Well, there's a hint of truth there.
A hint? It's not even buried. It's right out in front.
No, but what I'm saying is there's a hint of truth, like how like a 22-day notice that there's going to be cleaning involved. I mean, for me, it'd be like if we go there and I didn't know cleaning was going to happen, right? Let's say I never got that email. And they said, Sebastian, you mind doing the dishes? I'd say, yeah, no problem. But to get a 22-day advance that I'm going to be cleaning up the house, to me, it was a little ridiculous. No?
Yeah, but that's mean.
Oh, I don't think it is. See, that's where I come from, I ain't mean.
Oh, where do you come from? You come from outside of Chicago, guy. Your dad comes from Sicily. You come from outside the mall area.
No, you know where I come from? I come from telling my dad, prepare a death folder. I ain't walking around the house. That's where I come from.
Well, listen, you know, you make fun because my emails and texts can be wordy, but that's what I do. I get out. Like, if you would have said right there, nothing like a 25-day notice, and then you added, to wrap my head around it, Mom, thanks so much, you know, ha, ha, ha. See, now we all know. But you try to be very succinct, and sometimes being so short with your words comes across a little like, I might read that and go, oh, you know, Scott, he's upset, he's going to bring a sponge to make a point.
No, it's like, this is like, this would be the joke, the running joke of the Christmas holiday. If someone from my family did this, they would get ripped to shreds for 7 days. If my mother sent out something like that, the whole time I was home, I go, Ma, you want to email me my task list for today?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It would be like a fun thing. But here, after us talking about it, I might be disinvited for Christmas dinner.
Yeah, listen, we're busting balls. You're part of the family.
I know, that's the way I look at it. But no one's responded to that email yet.
Listen, they needed you to be part of the family. They needed someone to bring that levity, that funniness to it all.
Yeah, that's what I say, man.
Exactly.
Here's a flashback.
Are you going to have that eggnog next week?
Yeah, I'm going to come off the plane on Monday and right away start in on the eggnog because it needs to sit overnight. And then it will be ready for Tuesday night's ornament extravaganza.
Now, when you're on stage, your last show before something like that, have you ever had these kind of moments? I'm not saying you'd have it exactly with this, but sometimes it happened to me in Cleveland. I was on stage. And my mind was just going places sometimes I didn't want it to go, like trying to stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could literally find yourself on stage making a crowd of people laughing, and in between bits you have a moment where you're like, I gotta get started with that fucking eggnog as soon as I land. You know what I'm saying? And why does that happen?
I don't know.
And it makes me wonder, like, does Derek Jeter ever at the plate in the bottom of the ninth in the World Series, and he's like, oh, man, I got a Braley tomorrow. My mom is still in town. Fuck. You know, like.
Jerry Seinfeld talks about the same thing. Not exactly the same, but he has said that he calls it, everything in the front of the store is working, but you're in the back of the store thinking about stuff. So, like, you know, like you could be performing,
yes,
in the back of your head, be thinking about something else and not being in the moment.
What a great analogy, man.
Yes. I've actually done that, but I've actually thought in the back of my head sometimes, wow, this is great. I'm on stage. I'm making people laugh. And tomorrow, I'm going to be making eggnog.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Getting back to the initial thing about watching the game, I was at my brother-in-law's, and when I got there, he had on the TV some snowmobiling documentary about building a snowmobile. He's into snowmobiling, and yeah. They got no snow. They're all dying. But anyway, I politely asked if we could put the game on. And I had made a note of this to ask you. As much as a turkey is a mandatory if you're hosting Thanksgiving, even if you're not into football whatsoever, if you have a working television and you're hosting Thanksgiving, should the game be on, even with no volume?
Yeah.
Right? And if it's not on, does a guest have the right to politely say, can I put the game on? Or is that like, no, that's rude to ask. I don't have the TV on so we can all spend more time together.
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving is all about football, and I don't care whose house it's at. The game must be on. If you want to watch some obscure snowmobiling thing or X Games or a movie, that should be designated to a secondary television, possibly up in a bedroom and or a basement. But the main TV must have the football game on.
I couldn't agree more. And here's a little irony for you. The game, they put the game on. I sit down and watch it. My brother-in-law and my father-in-law walk in. And my brother-in-law says, he sits down and he goes, "This is the first play of NFL football I've actually watched all year. I haven't watched football at all." And my father-in-law goes, "Yeah, I don't watch it either." Now, first of all, as a man, I find that very unflattering as a man. Like, does he think that's cute to say that as a man, that you don't watch football? That's like, that's unmanly to me. That's like, you may as well say, "I like to wear a dress on Sunday nights." I mean, just don't say anything at all. You don't have to watch football, but to make an announcement that you never watch it, it's...
Why is he never watching? Is that a football fan?
Yeah, they're not into football. You know, all the pro sports, they all make too much money. You know, they all get traded. I have other things to do with my time. You know, like, yeah, obviously watch snowmobiling. But I'm not into men that say they don't watch football. You don't have to watch it, but you don't have to announce that you don't.
Yeah, you must just keep it quiet and say, you know, "This is great that we're watching the football game." You don't need to specify that you haven't watched a game all year. And I don't get some of these people that say, "Oh, yeah, they make too much money." It's supply and demand, bro. It's just the way it goes. I mean, the NFL is one of the most profitable sporting events of all time. And if there's $200 million out there to make, people are going to go grab it. And speaking of football, and this is something I wanted to get into right from the get-go, and I knew we were going to get here, but let's talk about what the hell you're doing on Sunday.
Oh, my God. I'm having a week. I mean, between Burr, Marin, and then this unbelievable gift.
Jesus.
What? Texts out of nowhere saying that the Texans are coming to Buffalo, and he can hook it up and leave me tickets if I want to go to the game.
Jeez.
So I said I only need two for me and Jackie, and then he texts back going, "I have as much as four." And dude, this is karma. Right away, I'm like, "Well, I ain't asking my brother-in-law, I'll tell you that much."
Huh?
There you go.
There goes that out the window. You just lost tickets.
Yep. Could have been, I don't know how close, to one of the greatest of all time, and now you're out. So they tried to get my in-laws, but someone's got to watch Sadie. So, but me and Jackie, guests of J.J. Watt. Unbelievable, dude. Going to the game on Sunday afternoon, man.
Wow. How far is the stadium from you?
Oh, God. 35 minutes.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I can't. We're really looking forward to it. Now, needless to say, right, the man's with the team and showering. I go when I split, right? This isn't a concert where you wait around to say hi. I mean, this guy's man's not going to take a shower, do interviews, come out and say hi, right?
This is one of these things. I don't know how this works. I do know because he had come to my special last year, and he came backstage, and he goes, "Wow, how do you have all these people back here? I know, like, you know, before I go to a football game, there's nobody in the locker room. It's just the team." So I know that there's no, like, hobnobbing as he's walking around with his headphones on.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's in warrior mode. And I would imagine all the way till back home in his home in Texas, it's just, I'm on the road. I'm a warrior. I'll leave you tickets. That's it, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a meet and greet after. I don't know. This is an interesting topic here. He's going to hear the cast probably tomorrow. That's his ritual.
But also, you got, if it was you, it would be different. You guys are obviously much closer. I've never even spoke to JJ. It's just through texts and stuff like this. Plus, like I said, dude, I mean, what, it takes you like 45 minutes just to get the pads off, let alone shower, interview. I mean,
I would think somewhere in between the game ending and him getting on the bus, there would be a possible meet and greet. I couldn't see him just leaving you the tickets and not saying hi. I don't. And again, it's not if he can't do it because of logistics, fine. But being who he is and a fan of the cast, I don't see how you don't get a possible like a Mean Joe Green type of thing in the where he throws you to Jersey and drinks a Coca-Cola.
Oh God, I'd be on eBay before I got home. I'd be like, it's still got the grass stain from the fucking game.
Mr. Green?
Yeah.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No, no.
Really, you can have it.
Okay. A Coke Thanks. And a smile makes me feel good.
Makes me feel nice.
See you around.
That's the way it should be. I like to see
hey,
the whole world smiling with me. Coca-Cola has life. Have a Coke wow. And
thanks, Mean Joe.
Smile.
Nah, dude, I don't even want to put it to that place because, this is just football time. It's totally about just leaving me a couple ticks, and then when I get home, I'll thank them for it. And besides, dude, it's funny because Jackie and I were talking about it, and I go, God, Jack, it reminds me of the John Mayer concert where he did a show once, left his tickets, and it was raining. And it was so embarrassing, dude, because we literally had to buy... I can't even say this without being embarrassed. $10 each off a Mexican dishwasher for two hefty bags, and we poked our holes through the heads and arms because we were in the rain. And I said to Jackie, you know what's so crazy? We only bought the garbage bags and stood in the rain because we really just wanted to meet him after the show. And she's like, I know. And then we went backstage, and he was already gone. So then we smoked a cigarette back there to pretend like, you know, we don't care that he's there or not. We just wanted to chill out back there. And then we left. It was so humiliating. So, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. This is going to be interesting how it all goes down. Who knows? Maybe it is just a game and you get the hell out of there.
No, that's all I'm expecting. That's all.
I know you are, but we do talk about every angle on the show. It's not like we're looking for passes back or anything like that, but we would be discussing this type of thing even if he didn't listen to the show.
I know, but I also don't want to discuss this too much because he's such a nice guy. I don't want to put him on a spot where he's like, listen, I can catch you on my way to the bus 2 hours after the game, because that don't work for me either. I got the 80-year-old in-laws watching the kids, so, you know, listen, just get an interception and fucking toss it to me. Oh, man. Well, sack the quarterback and give me a point and go, Petey! Oh, shit.
You know, I am waiting for Watt to do something in regards to a kind of a homage to the show, possibly after a sack, doing something that signifies that he's a listener.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because we've never brought it up, but... I remember when I politely asked both of you guys if you could just tweet out about the Showtime thing.
Yeah.
He never said a word about it, so I never said a word about it. So.
Oh, well, that listen, when it comes to tweeting stuff out with him,
yeah.
This guy's so methodical on what he tweets and what he posts.
Yeah.
It's almost like a science. Oh. So,
but you think he's going to get up from a sack and yell out, tune into Pete and Sebastian?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying, hey, I saw the special. It's funny. Check it out. No, you want him to actually jump up and...
I want him to jump up and go, take a walk! Something.
Oh, God. Oh, too funny, man.
To catch the sun's rays, a lesson song to be applied.
Has anyone ever seen... Wait, let me do that one again. Can I get a towel real quick? I'm sweating over here. Yeah, does anyone notice that?
Yeah. It's a goddamn TV taping. I can't. I'm dripping down here. I look like Patrick Ewing at tip-off. God. Never see Ewing before the game? I'm like, what, did you jog here? I love you too. Thank you, bro. I needed that. Good people.
Opening for Frank Sinatra was, we were all wondering, when is he going to lay it down? When is he going to quit? He would have hit and miss nights, but crowds loved him. They couldn't get enough of him. And every city we went to, they were coming to say goodbye. And one night, he did three songs. He was rolling. He got to the fourth song, and he totally blanked on the lyrics. And he started whispering into the microphone, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. And he turned around, and there was dead silence, and he had tears in his eyes. And he looked like he was going to come and lay the microphone down. And the guy way up on top of the audience stood up by himself and he hollered out, that's all right, Frank. It's all right. We love you, Frank. It's all right because we love you. And he started to applaud. And the guy next to him started applauding. And a couple, and pretty soon, hundreds of people started applauding, then thousands. And pretty soon, the whole arena was cheering, cheering and cheering. He got to the edge of the stage and I thought he was going to go home. And he turned around and he went back to center stage and they wouldn't stop cheering. And finally, they calmed down and he went into the next number, which was Mac the Knife. And he absolutely drilled that song. He hit every nuance and every lyric. He was like he was 19 years old again. And he pointed up to the guy and he said, I love you too, pal. And he sang for 2 years after that.
Wow.
2 years. That guy doesn't know. That fan brought him from the ashes that night.
This is Glenn Hanser. Glenn is an Irish musician who won the Academy Award for a song in a film he made called Once. He was performing one night in California when a man took a running start off the 50-foot roof, jumped and soared through the air without making a sound, and belly flopped on the stage a few feet from Glenn. Glenn took off his guitar and rushed over and tried to help. But this man had just forced a stunned audience and the band to watch him commit suicide. He's covering a Pearl Jam song in front of a Seattle crowd recently.
Makes much more sense to live in the present tense.
I was having a really hard time. Better reached out. I didn't know him at all. He reached out to a total stranger. And now we're good friends, and I'm very, very happy to sing this song.
Well, you have suffered enough and warred with yourself. It's time that you won.
Let me say this to you. This is honest. This shit didn't work for me. I mean, and I know y'all laugh and stuff, and I feel, I wanted it to be something else that it's not. It's just not there. It's just not there right at this moment in time and space for me. And I hope that nobody feels cheated or nothing, because at least you're getting to see a motherfucker crucify himself for it. This camera's looking at me.
Doing fine.
I thank you, brother. I needed to hear that.
Show within a show. Now back to the Pete and Sebastian Show.
What do we got in regards to the rest of the year for you? In town, doing gigs, I forgot. Are you doing a New Year's Eve extravaganza?
Yeah. Let's see what I got left. Well, I was actually in town for something separate from the cast.
Could you discuss it?
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to do the TV show again. I got the whole team. Oh. Got the whole team. And trying to pitch something now about where I live now. And I just wanted to ask you, because we were having lunch, and we were going through pitches, ideas and stuff. And I was telling them that the other day, you know, all the leaves are down where I live and stuff. I'm in my kitchen, and my neighbor, two houses down, has got a big screen. It's late at night, and me and Jackie can see his big screen's on. And I go, oh, I wonder what we'll say, Bill. Wonder what Bill's watching. And I pull out the binoculars on the windowsill, and he's got porn on. And I'm just saying, like, do you say to your neighbor, hey, you know, you might want to slide the curtains. I'm two doors down. I saw the porn. Latch on to the binoculars on the windowsill. Like, who does that? I go, what do you mean, who does that?
That's what I was going to say.
But there's birds, man. You don't have binoculars. You don't have anything.
Binocular? What the fuck? You think I'm some pervert?
Quiet.
Who the hell has binoculars
Anyone with binoculars is a pervert, dude? You don't... All right.
He's a peeping Tom.
You don't...
You're staring at the people's houses while they watch porn. That ain't weird?
Well, dude, wouldn't you rather know this is what this guy's doing at that hour with the curtain wide open? Now I know, and now I know. Tell my daughter, don't trick-or-treat at that guy's house. we got birds and stuff. My mother-in-law...
How many times you go, Jack, get the binoculars out, look at the bird?
Well, you know, not as often as I do for neighbors. Look at that cardinal.
Look at that cardinal, but look below there. He's doing her from behind.
My mother-in-law's got a telescope that it looks like
it runs in the family.
Oh, hers is so hot. It looks so nice. It opens up. No one even knows what it is until you open it up, and it's just you can really see what time it is with all your neighbors.
Oh, God.
So you don't have anything like that, huh? I'm surprised. I thought that was like as common as a flashlight, man.
Oh, are you kidding me? If I went home and I said, Lana, do me a favor, go find the binoculars. She'd go, we don't have that.
Well, I'll tell you, if I get you a pair, I might have an extra pair. My father-in-law is a hunter. He always has so many little mini ones. I guarantee you, you're going to get addicted, man. You're going to get addicted.
Oh, the mini ones are even worse. If somebody has a big set of binoculars, that's one thing. When you got those little ones, that is at a level of perversion that I can't even describe, man.
Well, the little ones, much more subtle. You got the big ones. They see you with those. Forget it, man.
I think if you got the bigger ones, you're actually looking for stuff that could possibly be interesting, whether it be a bird or whatnot. Those little ones, you're trying to be like... I don't know. It seems like you're bringing in alcohol in one of those little flasks where you're trying to hide.
Yeah, man. You're being sneaky. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right, man. God.
So how long are you out in L.A.?
I do Marin's thing, and I fly home at 10:10. And then next week I play in Magoobies and outside of Baltimore, which I love. Looking forward to that. And then I shut it down, as you would say, for the holidays. Oh, Atlanta, man. Punchline on New Year's Eve. I'm doing three shows on New Year's Eve at Atlanta Punchline. And then on January 1st and 2nd, I'm playing Gotham in New York City. So what's up? Are you plugging? What do we got going? You shutting us down? Where are we going?
No. I was just wondering where your whereabouts were. I'm in Arizona right now. I'll be at Stand Up Live Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then I shut it down. I go from what? December 7th to the next time I pick it up, January 15th.
Yeah.
I got a nice 6 weeks off.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward. Lana and I are trying to figure out somewhere to go for New Year's Eve. We wanted to go back to Cabo San Lucas, but the place that we wanted to stay at is entirely booked. So we just wanted to do like a 3-day kind of like end of the year relaxation deal, but I think we waited too long. So we're trying to figure out what our New Year's Eve plans are. But pick it back up in Boston, people, at the Wilbert Theater, Friday and Saturday night, 15th and 16th. And then we go on a run until I shoot my special in New York on May 7th. But a couple other things I just wanted to touch on as we are here on the Pete and Sebastian Show. Coming up on 200 here, I don't know if, again, you know, this comes up every monumental 100, 150, whatever it is. Do we do anything with...
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think it's cool how we don't do anything, and then other times I think, well, you know, shouldn't we do something? Will we regret it if we don't? I mean... Are you even going to keep going beyond 200 before we make a big deal out of 200? I mean, when Will Farrell calls and say, we loved that little piece you did, we want to give you a lead, I mean, are you going to be able to do it from the set? Because I ain't making a big deal out of 200 if there ain't going to be no 210. So
yeah, there's going to be 210. Right. I was just talking in regards to, do we do anything special? Do we have anything in the pipeline? But I know we, you know, the guests and never seem to pan out. So I just say we just plow through. Maybe an extra episode. I don't know.
I'll do an extra. Look, I know Matthew Modine, and I said something about his movie things I shouldn't have said. What about you? You got, by the way, Seinfeld's starting a residency at the Beacon, and it goes the first ever residency at the Beacon for a comedian. And I'm like, actually, it's the second. Because there's one going on in early May if you haven't gotten the memo. So, but that's very interesting. But yeah, you're the one who's hobnobbing, man. If we're going to do guests, it's got to be a connection through you. Even if it's like... You know, someone like Brett Ernst, I've never met him. You got all these L.A. comics that are funny that you're friends with. I mean, I don't know if you want to do that. Do we do the wives? Do we have DJ Lou and Jimmy from Boston? Do we just, you know, go hard for Lolo? By the way.
I don't know. We got to come up with something. Let's hash that out. In the meantime, this just in. Breaking news, just put out by Bill Burr. The Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast is up. He sits down with friend and fellow comic Pete Coriale. So go to BillBurr.com, get the newest and latest edition of his podcast, the number 8 podcast on iTunes. Jeez. Please tell me you mentioned the Pete and Sebastian Show.
Yeah, he's on all that, man. He does Before You Have To. At the end, he mentions that you have a cast with me and you. Dude, oh, I went on Conan and had Conan say it. All right? I'm in
it. Okay, I'm not saying you haven't said it. I'm just saying this is a podcast type of show, same type of listenership. So I thought maybe we get a couple plugs on it. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm hoping people come over and listen to us from that, man. Burr called me one of his favorites of all time, and then I'm only bringing this up because... Marin wrote a book called The Jerusalem Syndrome that I read years ago, and I had him sign it, and I noticed, because when I was going to see him, the book, I took a photo of it, because he wrote, you're one of my favorite comedians, and then he put the date, it was 03. Boy, for two guys that I'm one of their favorite comedians, I mean, I'm on episode 9072 of Marin's, so I guess he had to get his... The non-favorites out of the way first. I'm going to show him a photo. I'm going to go, Marin, for a favorite guy. Took me a hell of a long time to get on here. It was great doing Billy's.
Dude, this is monumental. This is the number 6 and number 8 podcast right now on iTunes that you're going to be on in less than a 2-week period here. And I'm just going right now to see if we crack the 200 already, and still nothing. But by the end of this, I would think that we would break the top 50.
Yeah, well, Marin's doesn't come out. It won't come out until either late December or early January.
Oh, okay, so he's okay. Better yet, so it gives us some time to soak in on the Burr.
Yeah, man. Yeah, got an interesting email recently. In a nutshell, people are coming back to the catalog. People are finding us, and they go back to the beginning because we're not very current events at all. And now there's been whisper about, do we want to start charging for the catalog? Not for the current episodes, but for the old ones.
Yeah, that did come up. We could set it where you get like the last 10 for free, but if you want to go listen to one or two or three, you could set a price point, whether it be you subscribe for 99 cents, $1.99, whatever it is. And what's the thoughts on that? I mean, we might as well just hash it out here.
You know me, guy. If it was like me, I'd be like, I ain't paying you 99 cents. You know? It's just...
Yeah, I get it, but...
But, you know, it's...
Listen, I got a favorite couple of podcasts that I listen to, okay? Mm-hmm. If tomorrow they said, you know what, it's going to be $1.99 a month to listen, I'd pay it, no problem. No problem.
Well,
I get them for free right now, but if they started charging me, I'm such a fan of the shows, mm-hmm. I'd pay. We ain't even doing that. We're saying we give you 10 of the recent ones for free. So if you're grandfathered in, if you've been listening since day one, you've got all of them already. So, and I know some people go back, but if they wanted to go back, they would just have to pay. It's just something to think about, man. I don't know. I don't even know how many listeners we have, for Christ's sake.
I don't either. I mean, maybe the ones we have are very... Like, I get a lot of, they feel a part of something that other people don't know how great it is, and that's what they love about it, which, you know, is, I'm glad that's how they feel, but I don't know, maybe we should just charge, like, $1,000 for a subscription per month, and maybe we'll just get, like, 6 dudes. But they're really rich, and we even address them by name when we start everyone off. Good morning, Ken, Bill, Kathy, and Tim. Good to have you on board. Loaded the six grand clear. All right, let's do the show. Either way, speaking of cash and highfalutin and rocking and rolling, I got to tell you, because I got to tell the ones where the ball drops the other way. This is an incredible flying story I'll make really quick.
This is the Flying News.
I check in to come to LA. I get there early, very early for my flight out of Buffalo, and I have a connector at Philly, and it's going to be tight to make that connector and get to LA. I go up to the counter only because there's nobody there. I say to the guy, listen, I wouldn't bother you if there was nobody here, but man, I got a tight connector in Philly, and I'm just worried. Is there a later flight? Maybe I should just get booked on so I don't have to worry about it. If you could, I hate to bother you. I don't even know if you can help me. Maybe I just have to land in Philly and take my chances. The guy goes, give me a ticket. Starts punching some stuff up. He looks up at me and goes, how about you leave here a half hour earlier, but you go to Chicago? But when you get to Chicago, you're going to have an hour and 15-minute layover, which, you know, it's a little long, I guess. I don't know. And then we'll get you from Chicago to L.A. And he goes, so you don't have to worry about your layover. And he looks up at me and goes, I can put you first class the whole way.
Oh, wow.
What the? I go, it's December 1st. I go, hey, I guess this is my first Christmas gift of the year. Dummy. So, but I'm like, wow. Thank you so much, man. Holy shit. Yeah, I really appreciate it. That's the thing, too. When you pack light, I mean, I had a briefcase. That's all I flew with. I pack so light, they think I'm ISIS, bro. But now I want to say I'm on first class, and specifically from Chicago to L.A. Dude, you would know more than me, but I have my list here. No more hot washcloth?
That's absurd.
What are you flying? What's...
American Airlines, no washcloth?
That's absurd.
You should get one.
You still getting your washcloth most of the airlines?
Yeah.
All right, we all have our coats. We put them on our laps. They wait till everyone's boarded and settled in before they come and take my coat. What happened to coming right over, taking my coat, hanging it, and getting me a drink right away?
Yeah, that they've been lacking on. I don't understand the whole don't take the coat right away and offering a beverage. It's like everybody's seated, and then right before we take off, would you like an orange juice, or... It's like, come on, I've been sitting here for 25 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, take my order as I pass you to go to my first class seat. You know? And then here's another one. Another guy in first class gets on the plane, but he wasn't there right away when we all first got on, so some people are already in coach. So he goes to sit in his first class seat. All the luggage above is taken because people in coach, animals, dropping it off in there on their way to back.
Yeah.
He's looking around. The flight attendant says to him, maybe there's somewhere in the back you can put it. I would have been like, honey, you can hold it in your fucking hand for all I care for 3 hours. I'm in first class. Put it on the pilot's lap, sweetheart. You're making this guy go down the aisle? I literally go, guy, I think I got some room over here. I mean, what are we getting? Just the biggest seat, bro? And then the last one, the curtain. The curtain separating us. Holy shit. There were so many people coming from coach. The first, I thought it was a cabaret show. I mean, every 2 fucking seconds. Oh, here comes the curtain again. Next number. So, is this the new way up there, bro? Because what are we paying for? Just the seat?
That's it. That's it. You pay for the seat. The bathroom is supposed to be used for first class only, but you might as well just send the entire plane up to first class. It's a constant stream of people.
It's unbelievable. There's a light breeze coming out of the back.
Oh, man.
Holy cow. So basically, you're really better off just paying, like you can pay an extra $40 and get the emergency exit row in coach.
Yeah.
That's your route. Yeah.
That's it. That's probably the best way to go. Go on the aisle in the emergency coach, and it's really no different. I mean, the seat is what? Maybe 25% bigger, if that?
Yeah. Not like so much bigger that you don't feel the presence of your neighbor. You still feel them.
They're still there. This guy I got on, I don't know what this guy was thinking. Last night on my trip here to Arizona, I'm sitting down. I'm in the aisle. There's an empty seat to my right. And I have my phone on, you know where they put the drinks in between you and the passengers? There's like an area there where they put the drink.
Of course.
But I had my phone there, and I had my headphones plugged into my phone. I was listening to an audio book. But you could see the cover of the audio book on the face of my phone. It wasn't dark. So the guy gets in. He's very frenetic. He's kind of all over the place. Bigger guy. And he goes... No. Because I was going to get up. Don't you get up out of your seat to let the person into the window?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you don't... I see people like they scooch back, like that's going to make a difference.
Or they do the little knee over knee, like turn the hip. I'm like, you're still going to get my ass in your face.
Yeah. So he goes, no, don't get up, don't get up. Don't. I go, no, God, let me get up.
Yeah.
And make it easier for you to get in. So he gets in, he sits down, and he goes, you could go back to playing your little video game.
Oh.
Now, I'm like, what do you mean video? I go, nah. He goes, no, go ahead, go back and play. I go, it ain't a video game. And if it was, I wouldn't even know how to play it. And then he shut up. But I don't know what... Where that came from? My little video game.
I don't know what that was about, but I'm glad you didn't rebuttal with that you're listening to an audio book, because that's like barely a step up. I have to say, when you finish an audio book and someone brings up the book, do you say, oh yeah, I read that, or do you say, oh, I listened to that, or do you just pretend you read it because they don't have to know?
Funny you say, this is my first audiobook.
What do you think you're going with if it comes up in coffee shop talk?
I say I read it.
Good for you, bro.
I say I read it, man. So,
hey.
I'm sitting there.
That makes me laugh.
I'm sitting there, and this guy is watching a video on his iPhone. And again, and I forgive me if we talked about this in the past, but how do you feel about people either watching the movie on the plane or watching something on their device and laughing out loud on the plane. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen that.
What is that? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, a couple times I've actually...
Like you've gone...
Yeah, like, yeah, I did it today.
Oh, God.
Not in public, though. I was in my room. I was alone in my room.
Yeah, but on a plane?
I did, look, it slipped out once or twice. Listen, if you get into these audiobooks, this one you got now is probably not a comedy, but you might find yourself going, ha.
Yeah.
Was he doing it incessantly, or did just one little thing get him?
Okay, this guy was—he was going, but he was—he would actually. I wish this was a video where you could see what he was doing. He was shaking his body when he laughed.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, it was weird. It didn't go with the laugh. It just. When he laughed, his body moved. I was weird. I was like, what are you doing, man?
How did he get up there? I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This is right up there with no hot towel. How is a guy like that getting through the system?
I don't know.
Oh, I mean,
I don't know, man.
Just because you got the cash of first class, that's only half of the battle. This should be a profile. Yeah, you got the money for first class, but you don't got the class for first class.
Well,
shaking the whole body.
Shaking the whole body. Now, I know we brought this up before, but I'm going to reiterate it. And I think this is more of a time than ever that we need this, is that flying app where... You go on the flying app and you go and see who's sitting around you, and everybody has a profile. Now, if I had this guy's profile, I would type in sat next to passenger XYZ, tends to laugh out loud and shake his body when he laughs. Now, that's in the profile. So when he books another seat, people are able to click on his profile and go, I ain't sitting next to that. Don't you think that would be a good app?
No, I had to book to check in today on my flight 24 hours in advance, and that was a nightmare, dude. It's people aren't as computer savvy as you. Who's going to check a profile and decide not to sit next to a guy? You cross your fingers, that's all you can do, man. Besides, dude, if you were on that thing... There'd be like two people you'd sit next to. You'd literally have to put in, is Sally going to Phoenix by any chance? I don't mind sitting next to Sally. <That's it. laughs> I mean, oh, dude, just God. Don't worry. You're going private soon enough. By the way, the level of fame and how quick it can happen, I'm literally watching the world news today, and you know, again, God bless the people in San Bernardino, all these freaking shootings and shit. But they're going, yeah, 14 confirmed, passed away, and this, that. And they go, and here's a tweet from Amy Schumer, and it's a tweet from her saying, my heart goes out to the da da da. And then the guy goes, yeah, you know, and Amy would really know because she had a screening, there was a screening of her movie where there was a shooting. And it's like, I'm not taking anything away from Amy. I'm just saying the power of fame. Like, the producers of the show said, let's read Amy Schumer's text in the middle of
it.
And, like, can you imagine being that famous? Like, I come through LAX, this big picture of her on the wall. Then you come to your room, and the news people quoting your tweet. It's like, there is no... You would have to think you're God. I mean, enough people are saying you're God. I'm God. I mean, I'm God. That's just so famous. It's unbelievable how quick how it happens. Wow.
Yeah, man. It goes. And when it goes, man, it's a steamroller.
Woo-wee! Wow. Well, you're seeing it, so... Anyway, I guess that's what
I got here. I don't have any other loose ends, any other news topics. Do you want to comment on this 14 people, or is that just too serious for our show?
Yeah, that's too serious, I think. I mean, I do. The last comment I want to make, and I just saw this commercial waiting to start this show, and if this is the new route they're going with our soldiers, I don't know who came up with this.
I love this so much. Talk about, you know, trying to make money for these guys who deserve it when they come back to the States. That, you know, the soldiers over there.
Yeah.
There was a commercial today for a watch. I don't know if you ever heard of this watch, Armatron. It's like,
what is it?
It's like a high scale watch, like an expensive watch. They got a, this is the commercial. Soldier standing there in civvies, you know, regular clothes now, good looking guy, saying how he got blown up overseas, you know, fighting, wearing that watch, got better, got healthy back in the States, found, got the watch, cleaned it off, turned it on, and it still worked. And he goes, that's the power of this watch. And then he closes, I think he said something like, this watch, it's my sword.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm buying the watch. So this is the route with these guys now. I mean, talking about, like, to say I was in a foxhole. I hadn't eaten in 3 days. My buddy had some double bubble. I chewed that shit for 2 days. It gave me the energy I needed to keep the fucking ISIS out of the foxhole. I'm getting double bubble. I mean, this is, there you go. We found it.
I'm telling you, advertising from the war field. It could be a new trend.
It could be a new trend, man. Absolutely. Advertising.
Whatever these guys need, though, man, just give it to them already.
Why, yeah, why can't the guy wear an Adidas logo when he's marching through the desert?
Yeah, outfit the camouflage with Nike. I mean, what... Is it that hard?
Oh, man. You know what it's like to go 30 days in a foxhole with rain and snow, and then you're up in the Afghani mountains and you don't get to shower for 30 days? You know how difficult that is? Let me tell you, folks, not that difficult at all if you're wearing Lululemon. I tell you, man, if this Marin thing blows up, I'm getting ready to do my binocular commercial. Oh, dude, great hanging with you. I missed
good
it.
Hang,
I missed
good
it.
Hang. Go enjoy your Marin thing. Safe travels back, and we'll reconvene on this thing once a week. We got it back up and running. Sorry for the hiccup, but hey. Turkey was calling, and I'm gonna go shopping for my sponge and Dawn.
There you go, man. Good hanging, brother.
Take care.
The show has ended.
You don't play well via text and email. You don't sound soft.
It sounds angry.
Yeah, you should think about using those memes.
Oh, those emojis?
Oh, the emojis? Like the yellow little yellow smiley faces?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could help you.